Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We've got ourselves a treat today.
Yes, we do.
Trevor Maddich was on with Jared yesterday, as he does every Tuesday at 4:30. So we know last week Trevor said he would have cut Treylon Burks for his effort. And Trevor kind of followed up those comments yesterday on Jared's show, and he said, I will debate this, I will discuss this with any coach, with any general manager, with any former player. And I thought, oh, will you now?
Isn't that what I said?
He happened to have a former player.
Isn't that what I said?
And he said, I'll debate this with anybody. So Trevor Maddich will join the show in 1 hour. We will discuss what he had to say about Treylon Burks, what he saw at practice, your perspective as a wide receiver, D-Mace. So Trevor Maddich will join us in 1 hour. Tim Hasselbeck will join us at 1 p.m. But Willie D. Mace.
Got a lineup today, don't we?
Seriously, got a who's who.
A who's who of I'm looking forward to having Trevor on as well. Obviously, Tim comes on every week. But we don't, you know, take that for granted. So we're happy to have Tim on. He couldn't go yesterday. So, but yeah, it's going to be an exciting show. And, you know, yesterday in sports, there was not much. I watched a 30 for 30 on Reynolds. What was the track? You remember that, Willie, 1988, when Reynolds broke the 400-meter run. He ran a 43.1. But then that's when they started testing. That's when they really ramped up testing in the Olympics in, like, 1988. Because that's when Ben Johnson got popped.
I've seen that 30 for 30. That's really
and compelling. Reynolds said he didn't. And that's what this whole 30-30 is about. The title is False Positive.
Now, that one I have not heard.
It's a really good one. He was at the time, he was the world's fastest man. He had broke the records. God, I forgot who said it before him. But the record was a 43.2 or 43, and he broke it at 43.1, somewhere around there, 43.29. And then he raced for a while, then subsequently, like a year or two later, he tested positive, and they stripped everything, and it was a good story. So
I'll tell you, it is, as the years go by and you go back, track and field and cycling, the things you find out years later.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to in the moment, like in the 1980s, you just didn't think about those things, really. I mean, steroids were... You heard about with weightlifters and stuff like that, and maybe some football players, and you find out, yeah, definitely in those. But the sprinting and the cycling, until Ben Johnson, I didn't really think about that at all. But it was going on. As you find out, there's a lot of chemistry.
Butch Reynolds, yes.
A lot of chemistry.
A lot of science experiments.
It was good.
And then the Russians, you ever seen the one at Icarus?
Icarus is great.
Unreal.
Yes, but they show, see what they did was they sort of told, like, the story briefly, very briefly, of during the war where Russia and Germany were feeding their troops and what is it? Amphetamines and steroids to keep them up and to keep them going and going. Right. And what they did was after the war and some years later, they took what those scientists had and just implemented it into the sport, Russia and Germany, and they were dominating for a period.
Oh, yes.
Like men and women, they were dominating for a period. And it wasn't until they started implementing the global drug test for the Olympics, and then a lot of those people started to get busted left and right. So it's a good story. It's a really good story. I don't know if Butch Reynolds took steroids. He said he didn't. But, you know, they stripped him of his gold medal. They stripped him of the world record time. Mm-hmm. So he went from the top of the world to the penthouse to the outhouse very, very quickly.
Appropriate now, too, because we're only, a month and a half away from the Olympics.
Yeah.
And there was the whole Russian doping scandal that they were disqualified
Icarus
from the
Olympics.
Icarus
was in there. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That was It's unbelievable to hear the story.
Crazy.
It's like machine. They were building machines, basically, with those people.
It is absolutely insane. I'll have to watch that one.
I don't know how.
It's really good.
The ongoing race between testing and the new science that always is coming out with the next thing to try to give you the edge. It's an ongoing battle.
Yeah.
It's always going to be.
One always
try to create
the
level playing field.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say. We're so far past, you can't do anything other than eat meat and potatoes and, you know, take vitamins. Like, everybody is pushing it. So we have to try to come to some agreement of what's the level playing field and and still find a way to nail cheaters.
Exactly.
Right? We just have to agree. What are the rules?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want the X-Men out there, the mutants. Right? Let's have real.
They had some of them back in the day.
Sometimes and they're all hooked up to all those machines with their vitals getting taken. They look like all, like, you know, Frankenstein-esque kind of experiments.
And that was the biggest, that was the big thing with Butch Reynolds. He said it wasn't done properly. A lot of that stuff wasn't done properly. Some stuff was tainted. Because when they first started, it was just, they were making up rules as they went. And you don't know how secure those testing houses were. That's what he's, you know, his side is saying. So it's an interesting, it's a nice 30 for 30.
Isn't it always at the center of the bake? I'll guarantee you, in the coming weeks or months, there'll be the next person that tests positive. I just didn't know what I put in my body. I just didn't know. I went down to the mall, GNC.
And I got me a
smoothie. I got a supplement.
I went to Jamba Juice and got a little something extra in my smoothie. I didn't know it was going to show up. Like, save it.
I apologize. I just would never do this intentionally.
Well, you may not have done it intentionally,
right.
But it was in your system. Right. Yeah.
But there's always the one guy that actually maybe did mistakenly do something or did have a false positive, and they get – everybody's like, yeah, sure, buddy. I mean, those people are screwed.
Those people are screwed.
The innocent person who has the false positive, that guy's screwed.
Oh, yeah, because
everybody else is like, everybody's lying.
But I had – and I think I told this story before, and I don't mean to commandeer the first 25, 30 minutes, but let me say this quickly since we're on that. I remember I was in Baltimore, and this was what, 07? Might have been 07, 06, somewhere around there. And we're in the off season. We're in, OTAs and stuff. So I go in, and I go to my locker, and I had this FedEx package. And I'm like, what? Like, what I get fined for? We ain't even in the season. What, do I got to take a drug test? Like, because they randomly test you, and, you know, you peeved about it as players. But it's like, okay, I just got this letter, and I just went to the bathroom. Now I got to wait another 35, 45 minutes and drink a bunch of water. Exactly. But then I can't drink so much because then they say it was diluted. So you gotta play it just perfectly right in order to get another sample. So I get it and I open it and I'm reading it and it's like foreign to me for a second. I'm like, what? Yeah, you test positive. I'm like, what? Test positive for what? It was what I did test positive for because I had a root canal. And I took the medicine they give you.
Novocaine or something. Something like that.
Some painkillers, yeah. And it showed up in my urine. And I'm like, you guys to be kidding. So the first thing I did was go to the trainers. Like, what do I do here? And they were like, just give it to us. We'll take care of it. Because they had a record of me going to the dentist and everything else. So I gave it to them. They took care of it. I was like, whew, man. Goodness gracious. Yes, it is. I'm like, man, they're trying to suspend me and take my money. And I'm going to be on the list where I can get tested anytime? No, I don't
want
that.
Can you imagine the press conference? I just went to the dentist.
Exactly. I got a root canal.
You bring the dentist. This is my dentist.
I just had a poppy seed muffin, okay?
Oh, my goodness.
Not on opiates. I had a poppy seed
Yeah, but that
muffin.
Is a scary feeling, boy, when you get that letter. Whew,
that
man.
Is scary. Mm-mm-mm. That is awfully scary.
Yeah, so.
Well, let's get into it because yesterday wrapped up the off-season portion of this Titans season. The next time they're back out on the practice field will be training camp, and that officially starts preseason. A lot of the things that we've been talking about of, I'll worry about that in training camp, we'll worry about that in training camp, you know, that's going to come to fruition here in about a month and a half. So now that we have wrapped up the official preseason, OTAs, mandatory minicamp, so on and so forth, kind of came up with a list of some things that we've been talking about, maybe things that we haven't been talking about enough, but are absolutely going to be a factor, or could be a factor in training camp and as we get throughout the rest of the season. So I wanted to go through this list. And if I forgot something, Willie, Derek, Nick, let me know and we'll discuss it. We'll throw it on the list. Kind of categorizing these certain things into things that we're encouraged about, things that we've really liked, things that we're excited about, we're excited to see in training camp, excited to see come to fruition in the preseason and the regular season, things that are a little bit of a concern, but it's more of a we'll wait until training camp kind of thing. Like, it's, you know, we'll think about it, we've been talking about it, but it's really not going to be a concern until it becomes an issue in training camp. And then the third kind of category of, yeah, that's a problem, I'm concerned about that, I'm concerned about it now, I'll be concerned about it in training camp, or even things that we won't even be worried about until the regular season. Maybe we won't see it come to fruition in training camp, but we want to see it more kind of unfold in the regular season. So we'll start at the top. Are we good with the categories, kind of what boxes we're putting these things in?
Yep.
Cool. Let's start with a juicy one. T'Vondre Sweat.
Am I concerned about him?
Is it a concern now, a concern in training camp, a concern regular season, or encouraged?
I'm not concerned now. That's now. Again, and I've been, you know, I've went over why I'm not concerned when it comes to Sweat. Now, if we get into camp and this continues to be the theme, then, yeah, we need to, you know, have a conversation about, you know, him potentially not, you know, reaching his maximum potential because of his weight. But right now, they're trying to get him. I'm sure they got him in a workout program. Coach Callahan said he was working. He may not be working in front of us, but he's working in the weight room. He's working in the training room. So I'm sure they're trying to. They got what? 4 weeks here, 4 or 5 weeks to get Sweat on a program where he can, one, pass the test, because that's what everybody's going to be looking for now. Moving. The next thing is, is he going to take the test, and is he going to pass the test? I warn people. If he doesn't pass it the first time, don't get alarmed. Please don't. Don't.
What does that test look like?
That test is hard. I mean, even when you're in condition, it's hard to run. And I can just imagine.
Is it like a cardio test?
Yeah, it's a cardio test. It's like they do 150s, and I forget how many we do, 5, 10. But it's like every group have a specific time, and you only get a certain amount of time to rest, and you got to be back on the line and go again. So that test for all these people that if he doesn't pass,
rest in between,
exactly, for all these people that if he doesn't pass the test for the first time, your ass go out and run that test. I don't care. Get in condition. I give you 4 months to get in the best condition you can get in, and then try running that test. That test ain't no joke, I'm telling you. So if he doesn't pass it the first time, don't be alarmed. Now, if you get to a situation where you can't pass it the second time, then yeah, because after you should be able to pass it after the first time, to me. So, if it continues into camp, I have a problem then. Right now, I don't, because now he has 3 weeks, close to a month, to get himself in condition to run that test and to be able to practice once 2-a-days come. So, right now, I'm not too concerned.
That's interesting. I've seen similar tests. Mm-hmm. I had them as an athlete. I've seen a lot of athletes.
We used to do the mile test in college, yeah, and that was hard.
My goodness. High school baseball coach, you know, baseball is not an aerobic sport, but he made everybody be able to run a mile and a half in a, I think it was 10 minutes and 10 seconds. And there's some guys who were pretty good baseball players that struggled to do that, and they had to work to do it, which is what he wanted you to do.
Exactly.
He wanted you, but the anxiety
of taking it.
There are people like, I just want to play baseball, or I just want to play basketball. I'm a good basketball player, but they get so wound up and they get nervous and they don't do well on the test because they're just afraid. It's a thing. Mm-hmm. It's a thing. It's not easy for everybody. And then the big guys, right? The 7-footers in basketball who have to run the mile or run the sprints, the suicides, or the big offensive linemen in football. It's different for them, right?
Yeah.
You don't run 150-yard runs in football very often if you're a big lineman.
No.
But it is part of condition and all of that. It's the test that you're pushing yourself. Look, you have to be concerned about sweat. You just have to be. I will be concerned. I'm concerned now on some level. I'm not that concerned.
It's not the end all be
all. It's not the end all be all. But I have to say, I'm watching close, and there's a question mark there, and I'll probably be concerned throughout training camp if he's missing time. I'm trying to be optimistic, but certainly there's some questions here with this guy. But there's a risk reward. Sometimes you make a pick like that. The reward is, I think, if he can get into shape, if they can get him there, then I think he's got a chance to do things that not a lot of people can do.
Yeah.
Right? That's why they drafted him.
I'm concerned about Sweat now because we were concerned about Sweat on draft night. And everything that's kind of transpired since then, it, just not being able to be out on the practice field, it kind of confirms our concern. Now, that's not to say that I have the right to change my mind in training camp. If he's out there and he looks great and he's able to consistently be on the field and he stays healthy and in the regular season he's available and impactful in every game, well, then who cares what he was doing in minicamp? And who cares that he wasn't able to be out there for OTAs? Because the games are really what matters. But we're not at training camp yet, and we're not in the regular season yet. So I will bite my tongue and I will swallow my words if he's able to be out there and impactful. But for right now, it is a concern because it was a concern in March. Mm-hmm. Will Levis's development be encouraged, concerned, won't be concerned until training camp, going to wait until the season? How are we feeling about Will Levis' development at this point on June 12th?
I'll say I'm not going to be concerned until training camp. I think everything I hear is okay, so I'm not going to be overly concerned. I just, in the big picture, I know how difficult it is to become a really good quarterback in this league, let alone a great quarterback, a, quote, franchise quarterback, because everybody has that tag thrown out there, but there's a lot of different, you know, are you defining a franchise quarterback as somebody who wins the Super Bowl? Like, we're talking about a really small number of people, and there's a lot of quarterbacks out there. All that being said, his numbers were what they were. He flashes some good things. Let's see where he goes. So I am kind of like, let's see what happens in the season. Because I think he's doing the work. Mm-hmm. He hasn't given anybody reason to be concerned with, hey, did you see that Will Levis was seen at CMA Fest doing something crazy? Or, hey, Will Levis went, you know, the vibe at practice, everybody's saying he's not working very hard, he's showing up late. He's done everything he can do to keep the concern level to nothing in the offseason. So I give him credit for that. So I'll be concerned in the regular season. Not worried about it until the regular season.
The fact that the most controversial thing that's come out about Will Levis, well, other than some things that got leaked, is the fact that he threw a ball in the lake. That's a positive thing.
Yeah. It skipped in a lake.
Yeah. It bounced into the lake.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not concerned at this point about his progression because we gotta understand it's a new offense, new players he's around. He's still essentially a rookie quarterback to me. So he's going to have his ups and downs. It seems like in camp he's progressing the way that they want him to. They don't seem like they have any problems with him in camp. Mm-hmm. Obviously, every day you want to go out and get better at something. But, you know, I'm not – my concern level isn't high at all. One reason is because they just don't have as much time as they used to in that building. So it's hard to sort of, you know, get into a rhythm with your guys when you're not spending as much time with them. Or it's hard to get into the rhythm with your coaches and how they like to call things and how they like to explain things. You really don't, you know, get the full scope of it unless you're in it consistently. And Will hasn't been in it consistently because you can only get so much time with the coaches. You know, a lot of his time, you know, since Callahan has got there, I'm sure he spent some time with them, but they can only spend so much going over the playbook per the collective bargaining agreement. So once we get into camp, two-a-day camps, and the season starts, if there seems to be some type of setback or some type of stall in his play, then I may need to worry. But even then, it's like we got a whole season. You know, it's just a whole season. And you're really not going to know whether this guy is the guy yet until far into the season. Mm-hmm. So me being worried now, yeah, there are some things that he needs to improve on as a quarterback, yes. But as far as him taking a step back, he would have to come into camp looking awful for me to be concerned about his progression as a quarterback.
I think for me, I'm withholding any judgment, definitive judgment, or labeling Will Levis what he's going to be until the season. Because we're in OTAs in minicamp, and this is his fourth offense in 4 years. Mm-hmm. Callahan's learning him. Levis is learning Callahan. He's learning the new receivers. He's learning the new offense. Like, right now, it's the time to experiment. Right now, it's the time to make mistakes and learn from them. So I'm withholding any and all judgment until the season. And it's not going to be week one, and it's not going to be week two. There are going to be weeks that I think Will Levis looks like a freaking superstar. There are going to be weeks where Will Levis might not look very good. But at the end of the season, it's how much more of good Levis did you see versus bad Levis, or vice versa. So I think waiting until the season is totally fair. But that's not to say that during training camp, we can't go out there and say today was a good day for Levis, or today was a bad day for Levis, or Levis is coming along. Of
whether you like it or not, that's
going to
happen.
It's going to happen. But I don't think it would be fair to say that Will Levis is a bust after day two of training camp, because it's you got to give him time.
Yeah.
You got to give him time. I've got a long list of some other things that we can evaluate at this point in the season. First-time play callers, encouraged, concerned. Legereus needs knees. Concerned? Are we concerned now? Will we be concerned later? We'll get into that, kind of our end of the off-season program evaluation of where the Titans stand now. We'll continue the conversation coming up next. Trevor Maddich at the top of the hour will be discussing some Treylon Burks at noon, so be sure to stick around for that. Purchase your tickets right now for the Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway Friday, September 13th through 15th at musiccitygp.com. As the race and station, 102.5 The Game has a special offer only for a limited time, so listen up. Use the promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, for a 20% discount right now through June 16th. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Yesterday at OTAs wrapped up the Titans' official offseason program, so they'll be going off and doing, you know, whatever they do until training camp in mid to late July. What did you do?
Did you go to the beach or something? Did you guys do a vacation, or did you stop working out for a little bit? Or
what we usually took, we would go on vacation, but we usually took it like during the spring break month, because we had that little time off during that spring break month. So when the kids were out, we would go for a week or so whatnot on vacation and come back. And then in the summer, we would go after that last camp. We would go on vacation for like a week. And then either be back for the 4th of July or right after the 4th of July.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay, I feel like that's probably the norm. Go out, go to the beach, go do something.
Yeah, just get away.
Unless you need to be here rehabbing, working out or whatever. So we're kind of giving our post-off-season, pre-training camp temperature of several things that can be, probably will be, big impacts and big indicators for how good or not so good the Titans are going to be this upcoming season. We touched on T'Vondre Sweat and Will Levis. Willie and I are concerned now about T'Vondre Sweat. D-Mace is holding off until camp. I think all of us are holding off until the regular season to give a full, you know, evaluation of Will Levis. That a couple of days in OTAs and minicamp is not enough to say Will Levis with a new head coach and a new play caller and a new offense with new pass catchers is X, Y, and Z. It's not fair quite yet. So what about Denard Wilson as a first-time DC? Encouraged? Concerned? Going to wait until the season to evaluate? How are we feeling about Denard Wilson as a first-time defensive coordinator?
I mean, I feel good about him. And listen, I'm going to be honest. Maybe I'm biased because he comes from Baltimore. And, you know, I have the utmost respect for that organization and the coaches that have sort of filtered through. I know what John Harbaugh is about when it comes to playing ball. So I know that Coach Wilson is detailed to the nth degree, and he's aggressive in what he want to do, but not just recklessly aggressive. He's aggressive, but do it in a smart, calculated way. So I'm encouraged, with what he can potentially do with this defense. I mean, we haven't had a shortage of, you know, good defensive coordinators with this organization.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go back to when I was playing, after that, even now with Coach Wilson, and even before that, the defense was never truly a big problem. Now, they had their injuries on the defensive side of the ball, but when they were healthy, whether it's Shane Boyne or any other defensive coordinator that's come through here, they've managed to put a competitive defensive front or competitive defensive team on the field. And it's no different, I believe, with Coach Wilson. So I'm not concerned right now. Now, again, you get in the season. Mm-hmm. That's when you really start to see things, when everything starts flying live. Then you get to see, is what he's teaching resonating with these players? And does he have the right players for the scheme that he want to play?
I cannot say that I know enough to be able to be concerned or encouraged until the regular season, so I have to elect that option. I'm going to wait and see in the regular season. I completely agree with D-Mace. His pedigree is excellent, everything I'm hearing. There's no reason to be discouraged or concerned based on what we've heard till now, but I just don't think you can get a read on a very difficult job coming in. Being a first-time coordinator with all of the new pieces that he's got, yeah. It's not like he's coming in and the same defense is being handed down to him. They got a lot of new players. They might even add a player or two between now and the start of training camp that they'll have to acclimate into. So there's this is a tough assignment. So I am going to defer until the regular season.
Fair.
Yeah. Because, again, Greg Williams, Schwartz, who else was he? Was been Shane Boyne. There was maybe one or two.
Well,
other
who's
guys.
The guy from New England that was there forever that came out of retirement?
Why am I forgetting?
Dean Pease.
Yeah, Dean Pease. Yeah. Dean Pease is
pretty,
at the top
pretty
of the
good
list.
Coordinator.
So
yeah.
They've had some really good coordinators come through this organization, and I think Coach Denard Wilson goes right along that line. So, like Willie said, I'm not concerned now. We get into the season. Then it may be a different story, but right now, I'm not concerned at all.
I'm encouraged. Yeah. Like, everything that I've heard from Denard Wilson and any of his media availabilities at the podium, on podcasts, whatever, he's so fun to listen to. And TD was on with us earlier this week, kind of giving us a recap of what he'd seen in practices so far, and he was talking about how it already looks like, and obviously it's OTAs and minicamp, take it with a grain of salt, yeah. But he can already see the defense playing with a certain level of aggression, which is what Denard Wilson said in his introductory press conference. That's what he wants his defense to be, flying around everywhere, fast, aggressive, in the offense's face. So I'm encouraged. Now, again, in the regular season, if, the Titans defense is giving up 35 points a game, I'll change my mind. I will absolutely change my mind. But for now, I'm encouraged about Denard Wilson, as encouraged as you can be about a first-time coordinator on June 12th. What about Nicholas Petit-Frere? And really, let's just say the right tackle position as a whole. What's our temperature on that? Really, the right side of the line.
Now that
one, right of Lloyd Cushenberry.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to talk about relativity here because the bar is low.
Yeah,
right. We're coming from disaster kind of level.
Yeah,
and so look, if you're sitting here saying you're encouraged, like you would only be saying that because you're in kind of that mode of it can't be any worse.
It's everything's right? Going to be fine season.
But we know it can get worse. Yeah. We said that before. And lo and behold, here's Andre Dillard.
That's a line from somewhere in the Star Wars. I think it's Empire Strike Back. Could be worse. It's worse. Remember that? Something you start hearing the machines going, oh, it's worse.
It's,
Han Solo, I think, said it.
It's worse.
Yeah. Look, I do think mm-hmm. – it will be better. I am in that mode. How much better is going to be the key? And really, my expectation level is just give me league average on that side of the line. And then, look, the bar is set higher on the left side of the line where you've put a pretty heavy investment, right? If you include the center, throw the center in on either side. But, I mean, the center is a very key person here.
Totally.
Right? They put some money down to give themselves a chance there. That's a big one. And then the investments with the other two guys with your first-round pick, you got to hope that you're seeing, you know, overnight. Do we think Latham is going to be a first-day All-Pro? No, I think there's going to be some growth there that you have to see from him. Mm-hmm. But I want to start seeing that. The right side is, okay, let's just find a way. Let's get some duct tape out here. Let's get some barbed wire out here. Let's just put together.
Bubble gum.
Let's go around the yard and pick up whatever we can find that might go in here and just give me something that I can deal with here. So
yeah.
It's a hard. So relative, that's what I will say. I mean, but the general is concerned. I mean, you got to be concerned. But
yeah.
Relatively speaking, just my expectation isn't that high. Just give me something I can work with here.
Yeah.
When there's when you have a position and there's like two names, two first names, not a one guy with two first names, but there's like two first names, or there's one name and then a slash and then another name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you should be concerned.
That's scary.
Yeah, that's scary because it's like there's this unknown. Like, which one of y'all guys are going to take it? Like, neither one of y'all are good enough to sort of step out.
We have to put a body out here.
Exactly.
It's got to be one of you guys.
This guy is going to be our starter. No, you had to put both names, and you had to put a slash in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, every day is going to be somebody different. And that ain't cool. I mean – so I am concerned about the right side because it's not like you have two guys fighting for a position that have proven, like, without a doubt that they can play. Like, and we're just trying to figure out which guy we're going to play because they're both so good. No, they have two guys, and maybe even more than that, that are okay at best right now. I'm not saying they can't get better, but right now they're okay at best. You can't operate with okay at best, you know, at that position. You can't. You have to have someone that solidifies that position for you, that right tackle position or right guard position. You got to have a guy that you, when you come into camp, you want to know for sure at certain positions. All right, here's my guy here. Here's my guy here. Okay, that position, yeah, working it out a little bit, but, you know, we have time to work that out. You don't have time really to work that offensive line out. You got to know which guys you're going to have at that position because the quicker you know or the faster you know, the better they're going to be. If you're steady going back and forth every other day switching guys, they're not building any chemistry together.
Yeah,
it's always a different guy on that right side. That right side has to build chemistry just like the left side does. So the quicker you can find your starter for that position, the better. When you're still in this two-thing battle and, you know, you look at it and it's like, man, neither guy is, like, really stepping out there, you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You have a serious problem. So I am concerned about that. But hopefully that, you know, Bill Callahan can work his magic and, you know, during camp, we will start to see that guy, whoever it is, take a step forward. And we once he takes that step forward, we'll know which guy is going to be the starter.
If you're not concerned about the right side of the line, like, I want what you're having. Like, that would show up in
exactly.
your training camp drug
exactly.
test. Like, I don't know how you couldn't be concerned. Right now, Dylan Raidens and Sadiq Charles are battling it out at right guard. I don't know if either of them can play that position and to what extent they can play that position. Because I know once the Titans brought in Bill Callahan, we all kind of breathed a collective sigh of relief of this guy is going to be able to get every single offensive lineman to their ceiling. The question is, what's the ceiling? Because if the ceiling's still low, it doesn't matter if you can
get like
to their ceiling
or
not.
It's kind of like going into the crawl space a little bit.
Yes.
You duck down. The ceiling's pretty low.
I
have a question
so
too with your depth chart reference, D-Mace, because I think that's a good one because you know you got a problem when you have a lot of slashes.
Uh-huh.
On top of that, you got a guy with a hyphenated name in there.
Yeah, you're right.
You got
right.
Petite Frere and a slash and like three other names. Is there enough room on the chart? Like when you go into the GM's office and he's got the depth chart on there, They may have to extend it out to the right a little bit more to get all the names in there.
Extend the margins where the font size is like 7.
And on your computer screen, it's going to mess up all your columns. Not enough spaces.
You're done for.
Yeah,
there.
That's messed up.
And that was just right guard. Not to mention Nicholas Petitfrère hasn't even been out on the practice field. So the guy who I think we view as the leader in the clubhouse, if you think differently, let me know. But the leader in the clubhouse to play that right tackle position, he hasn't even been on the field. So absolutely, it's a concern. Mm-hmm. Last one before we touch on some stuff with Trevor Maddich. Legarius needs knees. Mm. For that one, for me, mm-hmm. I'm going to wait till the season. Because we talked about this whenever the Titans traded for Legarius Need, that he didn't even practice with the mm-hmm. Chiefs, which was a concern. Mm-hmm. But he played, 16 games? Mm-hmm. So if Legarius Need can play 16, 17 games for the Titans and play at a high level, I don't care if he's not practicing. The difference with Legarius Need to me versus Tavondre Sweat, I almost said Tre'Davious White for some reason, versus Tavondre Sweat is Legarius Need's been through this before and he's proven he can be available when it matters. Tavondre Sweat hasn't yet. So I'm going to wait until the season. But it's not nothing now.
I'm not too concerned at this moment. It's going to be load management with him during the week. And I'm not going to sit here and say he doesn't need to practice. But, if he isn't practicing as much, he's already shown that without much practice, he can still go out there and be one of the top corners in the National Football League.
Yeah.
If you're able to play on Sundays, that's all anybody care about. They're not monitoring whether you're practicing every day of the week. Steven there was on an injury report every single day probably of his NFL career.
I think that's probably right.
Other than maybe his first year. But we didn't care if Steve, because we knew, listen, this dude, if he can get a day of practice, 2 days, that's great. But Steve didn't need necessarily that. As long once he got out there and those lights came on, he was good. Now, with practice, could he have been better? Absolutely. We know that. But him missing practice wasn't a big thing for us because we knew he was going to show up in the game. And I think that's the same way with Ladarius Sneed. Missing practice isn't a huge deal unless the knee starts to flare up in the midst of all of this. As long as he show up on Sundays and is able to play at a high level, if it starts affecting him playing at a high level, even though he's still playing, we got a problem. Because even if you're still playing, but you're not playing to the level that you once were, we got a problem. Because if it seems that your knees are the reason why, then yeah.
It's hard to say this because, look, the health player of any NFL player is, at some point as you get older, it gets harder to stay healthy. I'm not as concerned with the knees as I am him having the spotlight now of big name guy that you traded for, handed the big contract to, not living up to the expectation. I just think that is a big thing in sports, and it's not his fault. He earned that contract, but now there's a different level of expectation. There is a different focus of a broadcast, of a team, of a fan, of what they expect from that player. And, look, I'll give you one that's going on right now in the NHL Stanley Cup Final. Darnell Nurse, he makes $9.5 million a year. He's getting absolutely flamed every day by the fans because how do we pay this guy's 9.5? Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, just give it a little more local flavor. But those guys with the big contracts, who it's not their fault they got offered those contracts, but they're the ones that take the heat if it's not going well for them or the team. That's what I worry about with Sneed.
The expectation.
That's what I worry about with Sneed. I think he's going to be good. He's the same guy, but there's going to be a lot expected of him. That's my concern with him.
Fair. Coming up next, Trevor Maddich will join us at noon in 15 minutes. We know last week Trevor Maddich went on Jared's show. He said he would have cut Treylon Burks for his effort. Tyke Tolbert responded to that, of course, the Titans wide receivers coach. Trevor Maddich then responded to what Tyke Tolbert had to say. I want to get D-Mays' reaction before we catch up with Trevor Maddich at noon. Caroline Willie D-Mays tomorrow, the Robbie and Rex Road Show, will be broadcasting live for the grand opening of a new Dunkin' location in Nashville at 326 Harding Place. 1025 The Game will be on on site from 6 to 9 a.m. So stop by and have your chance to win lots of great prizes.
Attitude's great, great. You know, effort's been good. One of the things that somebody said something about is effort and practice the other day. The one thing I would mention that a lot of those guys come straight from special teams and they're running like 100 yards up and down the field. And when they get to my period, my individual period, we have only 8 minutes. So what I tell them to do is they can tone it down a little bit, go through the route technique part of it, not so much speed, because after 8 minutes, we go back full speed with the routes on there with the quarterbacks. So some of that, I give them a little leeway, because especially like on the kickoff team or a punt team as a gunner, he's taking more reps, probably twice as many reps as rookies are. So I'm trying to give him a little bit of a break when it gets to my particular area. As far as running full speed technique, I won't waver on that. But as far as going full speed in my drills, I don't have them do that on some days when they're doing a lot of running on special teams.
So some of that that was seen was, in fact, based off, hey, look, man, tone it down.
Yeah, I tell them all. They say, what's the speed? I say, I will go half speed this time. They say, what's the speed? I say, 3/4. Now, sometimes we go full speed, but they always ask, what's the speed? And I tell them when they come from over there, you know, I see they're running gunners, and I'm seeing they're running kickoff coverage, and some guys getting twice as many reps as some other guys. So just to give them like a little break when they get to my particular drill, I tell them the technique won't suffer, but just tone it down a little bit, because you just come back from running all those, you know, I don't know how many yards they run, but it's a lot over there in special teams. And then we're getting ready to run full speed again with the routes on air with the quarterback. So just in my period, sometimes I tell them to tone it down half speed, 3/4 speed, that kind of thing.
That was Titans wide receiver coach Tyke Tolbert. Obviously, Trevor Maddich's comments that he made on Jared's show last week got back to the building, because Tyke Tolbert said, I heard somebody questioning Treylon Burks' effort. Kind of explained, you know, I tell him go half speed, I tell him go not 100%. So Jared played that for Trevor yesterday, and Trevor will join us in less than 10 minutes. So Trevor and D-Mace can have their
powwow. Right.
Their, yeah.
So, okay, can we just say this, though, that what did Derek say before he talked to Coach Wide Receiver, right there, Coach Tolbert? What did D-Mace say the day after? That this is what happens sometimes. Okay, so just...
I mean,
I'm not going to have D-Mace have to pat himself on the back. I'm going to pat him on the back, because he told you what's going on. So don't freak out when you hear somebody make a real noisy take that is over exaggerated.
Yeah, listen.
And out of context.
Y'all are going to start listening to me. Not y'all too. Not y'all. I'm not talking y'all too. Or you, Nick. But y'all are going to truly start listening to me, just because I don't. Yeah, what I tell you is what I've experienced. If you don't think my experience in the NFL 15 years is worth anything, then okay, say that. But when I say things, I'm telling you because I've experienced those things. I never say anything that's told like out of bounds. Like, I'm not going to say something that I haven't experienced in the NFL myself at that, especially at that position. I'm not going to give a hot, just to be given a hot take, because I understand. I know what it takes to play that position. I understand from a coach's standpoint what they want. Now, things have changed some. You know, how you approach these young men now compared to when I was playing. But the premise of it is still the same. What these coaches are asking you to do in certain drills are still the same, no matter what. If they were playing in 1950 or they're playing in 2024, the premise of the drill is the same. Like, what we're asking you to do, if I tell you to tone it down, you tone it down. If I tell you to speed it up, you speed it up. That's a coach's preference. I said what I said last week, because I understood. And to make it even more, there were, even when I, before I became a full-time starter, I had to do punt return while the other receivers are, you know, stretching and doing all this, the more veteran guys that have proven, you know, that was here, whether it be Yancey, Carl Pickens, Chris to an extent, those guys were doing like receiver stuff, like warming up a little bit, while we were gunners, whether it was myself, Joy Ken, Isaac Bird, gunners, punt return, kickoff return, kickoff coverage. We were running up and down the field while everybody else is just on the side kind of warming their bodies up slowly. And then all of a sudden the coaches say, all right, individuals, and we got to go to our coaches. I'm tired. There's about three other guys that are tired. The other guys that have been just, you know, sort of, you know, warming up, they're not tired. So what the coach would say is, all right, fellas, half speed. Y'all half speed. I know y'all been running up and down. Y'all half speed, three-quarter speed. I'm not worried about it. And when you get, you know, your breath, then we can go full speed. And usually we would take that whole period, you know, 2 or 3 minutes where everybody is like, okay, now I caught my breath. Now we're getting into what we need to get into. So when I saw that, again, I'm like, it was irresponsible to me, I said, and so only to me, to say that not knowing the context or what the coach is trying to get out of that drill. If Trevor was some guy that just had a podcast that nobody listened to, or they probably had like 100, 200, it's like, okay, yeah, what you say, nobody's really paying attention to it. You're trying to get some clicks, or you're trying to get people to listen. But when Trevor says it, because he's respected in this industry, that holds a lot of weight. That's all I was saying.
That is one thing that I would like to reiterate, mm-hmm. is Trevor Maddich isn't just some guy that went out to practice and is just
exactly.
saying things. Trevor Maddich played in this league. Mm-hmm. He played the sport. He has been one of ESPN's most respected and top college football analysts for a long time. Mm-hmm. Trevor isn't just pulling this out of nowhere. This isn't just, a quote-unquote lazy take mm-hmm. that Trevor Maddich had. This isn't Trevor trying to get clicks or get headlines. That's not what Trevor Maddich is about. So that's another thing I want to reiterate. Mm-hmm. It's not just somebody saying something. That we here on this program and all of our listeners respect your experience mm-hmm. and perspective and respect Trevor's experience and perspective. So he will join us coming mm-hmm. up next. He said on Jared's show yesterday, I'll debate this, I'll talk about this with any coach, any GM, any former player. And I thought, perfect.
Hey.
Because we've got a former player that would love it to discuss. So Trevor Maddich, ESPN, a college football and NFL analyst, will join us coming up next. We'll get Trevor's perspective, what he saw from Treylon Burks. Mm-hmm. Derek's perspective on your experience as a wide receiver, what mm-hmm. you've seen from Treylon Burks. Trevor Maddich will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.